Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ. You know, in our own lives, I can testify that I'm standing here today because I remember on a Saturday night in the December holiday of 2014, one evening sitting in my chair in Windhoek, the Holy Spirit said to me, "You're going to move to Windhoek. Move to Swakopmund." And I always thought, I will never live here in Swakopmund. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't like the weather. There's a lot of reasons why I didn't want to live here. But you know, there's one thing I can tell you for a fact. If you say to God, "I'll never do something," guess what you're going to do? You're going to move to that place, or you're going to do that job. If God will bring you to that place to bow your knee and to say, "Lord, whatever you will, whatever you lead me." And I remember when I shared that with my wife, she thought I'm, in a sense, like crazy because she knows my heart and I will never take a move or I take a step like that. But it's so important. The Holy Spirit, sometimes, I know one of our pastors, C.S. LaRue, many of you will know him, and he many times he will testify, and I've heard him say it a few times, that God has showed him three things in a dream. And only two of those things the Holy Spirit has given him permission to share. The third one is for some time in future. You know, so sometimes there's that place where God will tell us, "Listen, in the medium term, you're going to move. In the long term, that is what you're going to do with your life." And then there's the short term. There's stuff that's happening right now, driving in town, Holy Spirit saying to you, "Stop," or, you know, the typical Spirit-led moments where we feel we need to share with someone, give someone, bless someone, those type of things that I almost said Pastor Mark shared with this morning, being a blessing. But you see, if we read, that's a verb when it says Jesus was led by the Spirit. Then we go on in John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the work that I do and greater work than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." Now, when I read that scripture, in the natural, I think, like, doesn't make sense. I'm full of sin. I'm not very perfect. All those type of things. Then I look at the life of Christ. He was perfect, the Son of God. He had everything. And then Jesus said, "But listen, I'm going to give the baton to you. You're going to do greater things." And I think many of us have this feeling that, like, "Lord, but you should have done the biggest things because you're Jesus Christ. And now you are saying we will do greater things." If we are to do greater things, we really have to be Spirit-led. Because to do greater things than Christ in the natural, hey, Manfred, we're not going to do that. It's not going to work, hey? How many of us have tried in the flesh to move a mountain to force a door open and it just backfires? To say, "I'm going to go there, I'm going to do this," just to run into a brick wall for the how many of time? Jesus was Spirit-led. Jesus said, "We will do greater things." Church, when we look at the heart of Christ, it was a heart that was led by the Spirit of God. That same Spirit will sometimes tell us, "Don't." It's not just a go. Sometimes that Spirit will tell us, not now. That example of Pastor Sias, you're not going to, I reveal it to you, but you're not going to say that to someone. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will show us, especially to parents or leaders in church, reveal something to us about someone. But it doesn't mean you have to go to that person and walk to that person right now and say, "God is saying," or "Thus says the Lord." Sometimes it's for a different purpose. You know, I can maybe see my 9-year-old son is immature, but he's 9 years old, so I guess it's age appropriate. I don't have to tell him immature. It's natural in a certain context not to be a grown-up, you know. We read in Acts 16, verse 6, it says, "And then they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia." Then we think, but God, isn't your heart that the apostles had to minister everywhere? Why would you forbid them to minister there? Hey, God is God. Let him be God. God's ways is higher than our ways. Sometimes in our minds, it doesn't make sense why I cannot be the small group facilitator right now. Why I cannot lead the worship. Maybe God said you will lead worship, but in 5 or 10 years' time. Maybe God is still preparing your heart. Maybe God is saying to you, "No, not that relationship right now. to protect you. The Holy Spirit will sometimes say, listen, not now. It's an important thing that we have to be open with, that he will share to us, not this season, not at this time. You see, so when we ask ourselves and we test ourselves, how do we do in this area? Because I remember when I was a young Christian, I had this one guy who always asked me, Werner, you smile, you know exactly what I'll talk about. It wasn't Werner, by the way. So, Carl, what is God talking to you about? I remember the sermon of Pastor Fred and Sias, what they said, but now I'm not so sure. And then I'm there in the corner, and then all the questions come, and I have to grow to that place. Because if I ask you, what is God talking to you about right now? Not what's the church vision, what was the last two sermons. Yes, we're part of the body and we're part of the bigger vision, and especially in Shofar, our heart is to be prophetically obedient to where the Holy Spirit leads us. But what is God talking to you about right now? It's not a trick question. Some of us are more mature, some of us know the Lord for 10 years, some of us for 5 or 2 years, and we need to learn to discern what is Jesus saying to us? Where is the Holy Spirit leading us in our own lives? To who is God talking to us about? For who should we pray? Yes, with our intellect, we can make that calculation many times, but the spirit man, that inner man of us, we need to be sensitive. Carl, you need to drive differently on your way to Windhoek. Carl, as a husband, you need to work on that. As a father, as a pastor or a Christian, there will always be things that the Holy Spirit will bring to our attention. And that is why it's sometimes a blessing when the power fails on a day like yesterday and you cannot open your laptop even to read your old notes that you prepared during the week for the sermon. And you have to say, Lord, it's me and you. The Bible, the pen and the notebook and the Holy Spirit, still good enough to be ready in season and out of season. It's a good lesson for all of us. The second point I want to make this morning, Jesus was so sensitive regarding the needs of the people around him. Jesus didn't have this badge, I'm the Son of God, I'm here to die on a cross, I've got 3.5 years, I need to spend time with this 12 men to raise them, please don't bother me, please speak to my secretary first. Jesus was so comfortable. If we page through the Gospels, Jesus healing the man with the withered hand, Jesus healing the paralytic, the blind man, the this, the that, Jesus feeding the 5,000 or the 3,000, Jesus being comfortable with all different types of people from different social backgrounds and cultures even, didn't have the problem. Jesus wasn't for him an issue when someone came in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. It was okay with him. He had time for people. You know, something I've read, it's so beautiful, I just want to quote it to you. It says, remember that people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And sometimes we want to come with a heart full of doctrine and we want to change them with scripture. But people need to see and to sense how much we actually care about them. Jesus had this compassion that we will probably never have completely, because he has this eternal view about sin and heaven and hell and eternal judgment that we can just read through the Word of God. Okay? Everyone's still okay. If anyone needs a glass of water, just say so. Where's the ushers? No, but you will serve them with water, I believe. Okay? Church, Jesus loves us so much the way we are. But he loves us so much that he will not leave us the way we are. He wants us to continually change. It will happen by the leading of the Spirit, but our hearts always need to change. I'm going to make you a deal. I'm going to tell you a quick story. You know, they may be visiting grandfather, grandmother. You know, when they go to bed, I've seen sometimes in movies, a lot of you are old enough to remember the flick, Dennis the Menace. Sarah, you have watched it. Okay, Mr. Johnson, who was the guy, and little Dennis. And then there's the false teeth and the brill and all those type of things. If you can give your heart a 24-hour break, just a 24-hour break, you know, you go to bed tonight, you wake up tomorrow, you go to your same workplace, you have the same boss, the same father, the same mother-in-law, same father-in-law, all of those things. Nothing in your life changes. Your health, your issues, your paycheck, your surroundings, where you live, the car that you drive. But one thing changes. Like in the movie, Dennis the Menace, let's say we can take this heart, and we put him there in a cassie somewhere in the bathroom, and we take the heart of Christ, and we take Jesus' heart, and it can be only our hearts for 24 hours. And there where you work, where you live, there where you drive, you take the heart of Jesus Christ with you. Will people see a difference? Will you act? Because you have your same mind, your same body, everything. You just have a different heart. What will people see? Will they see a change, small, big? I believe they will see a massive change. Some of us are more Christ-like than others because we have known the Lord a longer time. Some of us has made a bigger effort to get to our knees and say, Lord, change us. We need to have a desire to have the heart of Jesus Christ. Maybe I can explain it to you. So just you can think about giving your heart a day off and just having the heart of Jesus Christ. That his priorities govern your actions. That his passion drives your decisions. That his love directs your behavior. And I believe none of us can say that we are there completely. Some of us are maybe closer than others. But as a church corporately as well, we need to say, Lord Jesus, we want your heart. We need your heart. We can see it. I'm going to tell you a quick little story just to keep you awake. There in the Kalahari, in the Red Dunes, 20, 30 years ago, how long time? It's a fiction. It's not a true story, but it's not a lie as well. It's a stalky. What's the last name? There was a wealthy old man living there, you know, but he was a bit of a seinig. What is seinig? Help me. Stingy. He was stingy. So now things are changing. The winds of change are blowing there, and they will get electricity. So his house get connected to the power resource. He gets power now. And after a while, the guy who takes the reading, there was this little implement in his, let's say, in his room, and the guy who needs to take that reading, he comes to him. Let's call him Mr. Van der Merwe. Okay, and he comes to Mr. Van der Merwe, and he says, but listen, you have now electricity for about 2 months. Why aren't you using the electricity? I mean, your house is connected. You can use it. It's to your own benefit, I believe. And he says, but I do use it a little bit. And the gentleman who needs to take the reading, he says, but there's scarcely a reading registered here. You use almost no electricity. And he says, yes, every evening, you know, just before the sun sets and it's almost dark, I switch on the lights for a short while, and I fetched the matches, and I lit the candles, and then I switched the electricity off again. And the guy says, but you've got access to so much more electricity. And you know, that's just to illustrate how our lives sometimes work regarding this heart of Jesus. We've got this power source that is cannot run dry. It's massive. But many times we switch it on for a small or a short while somewhere, just to do something else again. And we're plugged in, it's there for us, but we don't completely use it the way we should. And that is just something to illustrate to us and just ask ourselves, the power of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, it's there all the time. It's there. Switch it on. It will lighten up the room. It will bring change in our lives. The third point I want to make, Jesus wasn't just a great theologian who walked there and preached amazing sermons. He took action. He took action. We read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, we see, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. With deep conviction. Church, if I'm a salesman and I need to sell a car washing product to you or anything, and I say, sir, this is a good product, and we've tried it and it worked a few times, etc., etc., and you try to sell a product and you're like kind of convinced that it's kind of okay, no one's going to buy that. A deep conviction. It says a deep conviction. You know, when we have a deep conviction about salvation, about eternal judgment, about sin, about love, about the church, about the heart of Jesus Christ, then it makes us stand up. That was what Paul was able to go to the world to spread the word. That deep conviction is what's going to lead us to take action. Yes, the Holy Spirit is going to inspire us. But you see, when we read in Matthew 14, verse 28 to 29, you know, we all know that picture where Peter had to get out of the boat. To get out of the boat and to walk on water, it's not natural. It's supernatural. And when we want to and need to flow in the supernatural, where things doesn't make sense, where miracles happen, like in the first church service, where a lady can testify, I prayed, and we have this mess where we moved from one house to another. Holy Spirit, can you show me where my handbag with my purse is? And we can testify. That's the supernatural. That's not, your memory couldn't give you the answer. That's the supernatural. When we touch someone and we pray for someone and a miracle happened in that person's life. But we need to get out of the boat to walk on water. We need to take that steps. And it's so scary to sometimes say, I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to share something in my small group. I'm going to testify. Take that first step. Take that small step. Take action. Jesus had a life where he took action. We need to testify, etc. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to give us an opportunity. The video clip, there's all the 3 points I've made today, that Jesus was led by the Spirit, that Jesus was so sensitive to the needs of people around him, and that Jesus took action. You'll see all of that in the video clip. It's about 7 minutes, so I'm going to end off a little bit earlier. And after that, I want to ask you, I want to invite you to say yes, to say no, to say sorry, to say forgive me, to ask for forgiveness, to declare, to raise your hand, to pray, to stand in the gap, whatever it inspires you to, okay? Just in your own heart, take that step and say, Lord, I've sensed something now, and I'm going to go to that person, and I'm going to make things right. Or I'm going to take a first step and just, for instance, say, attend church more often, whatever it might be. The heart of Jesus Christ was sensitive to the needs of people around him. And the heart of Jesus Christ, he took action. He stood up. So we can evaluate ourselves. We can say, Lord, I need to change. I need more of your heart. Take my heart out and put your heart in that place. Can we pray together? Lord Jesus, we just have to admit, every one of us, Lord, that we don't have fully and completely your heart. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on a cross, that you rose again, for your teachings, for showing us the heart of Christ. Today we only touched a few aspects on that. But Lord, I pray and I trust that as a church, we can pray about it, meditate on it, talk about it, read about it, Lord, that our hearts can change for your glory, Lord God, that as we change and become more Christ-like, Lord, and to have your heart in our lives, there where we live, where we work, in our marriages, that we will see the fruits of that, that we can reach this nation, this town, Lord God, not in the flesh, but being spirit-led, representing the heart of Christ, that when people walk into our church, that they can sense it, your love, your compassion, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will change us. But, Father, it's not something that will just fall from the sky. We need to want it, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, Lord Jesus, you come and you save us. And then there's that place of discipleship, growing in Jesus. Like Paul said, where we imitate others and Jesus Christ, or others to become more like Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, help us in that process. Every stumbling stone that we have in our minds, in our theology, in our hearts, come and take it away. I pray that it will dissolve, that there will be a path that we can walk, Lord God, to become more like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.